two verses that are very familiar, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans, the 12th chapter, and two verses of Scripture. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord, He leads us and deepens our walk with the Lord. If you have a heart toward God, if your focus and your direction is toward God, then you can have the assurance that God is at work in your life. You know, there is such an important thing that we keep a focus, an intensity toward the things of God. You know that that if you are focused on godly things, the things of God, then you're going to be in tune with what God is saying and what He is doing, because we live in probably the most distracted world. We all live lives of great distraction. And most of these distractions come from the enemy of our soul. Another verse of Scripture is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 also. And verse number 1 and 2 in this chapter as well. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Do you know that's how you got saved? If you're saved, it's because you turn your gaze, spiritually speaking, toward the Lord. You looked to Jesus. There's a song that, it's an old song. Only one look. Only one look. That's really all it takes. Just one time, a person really looking to Jesus and focusing your attention upon the Lord. You know, we start our walk with the Lord with that look to the Lord and that focus upon Him. Isaiah 45 and verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I know you've probably read that verse of Scripture before. That's the verse of Scripture that was used the night that Charles Spurgeon was saved. He was just a boy, and it was a wintry, stormy night, and his church that he normally attended had dismissed their service, but he went to another little church that was close enough that he could walk to the service, and the weather was so bad that the pastor couldn't even get there, and just a few little people that were there, and this young man, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, just a teenage boy, I believe 17, maybe 18, had walked into that service, and Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he said that there wasn't even a preacher there. So one of the laymen, just got up unprepared and read the Scripture, Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me, and be ye saved. And since he didn't have a sermon prepared, He would read it, and then he'd make a few comments. Then he would read it again, and the bulk of his message that night was just rereading Isaiah 45, 22. He just kept rereading it because he didn't know what else to do. And so that was his sermon. And he looked back and he saw the face of this young man, Charles Spurgeon. He said to Charles, he said, "You look like you are a miserable young man." And he said, "I am miserable. I am miserable." And so then he read him this scripture again, Isaiah 45 and 22. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Charles Spurgeon responded to that plea that night, and that was the beginning of his walk with the Lord. Amen. And that's how we all start. We have to look to the Lord. We have to set our gaze, our attention upon the Lord. And you know, that's how that we begin our spiritual life, and that's how we're going to also end our spiritual life. When we come to the end of our days, whether it be by rapture or by the grave, that we're going to come to the end of this physical life. 1 John 3 and 2 says, "Behold, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So you look to the Lord at the beginning of your spiritual life, and when you get to the close of your life in this world, you're going to see him as he is. There's going to be this revelation. And that's a wonderful thing. It's the beginning and the end of our spiritual life. But our problem most of the time is not the beginning and it's not the end. It's all that time in between. It's all the time in between that initial time that you look to Jesus and that time that you finally will see him as he is, that down through the years of your walk with the Lord, you'll find yourself having a struggle with focus upon him. Your attention focused upon the Lord. Now, men are notorious for not being able to focus. I am probably one of the worst. I am such a one-track person that if I'm going to listen to music, I have to listen to music. I can't let music just be the background. I have to listen to it or turn it off. I'm just so one-track that I can't talk to two people hardly at the same time. Now, the only advantage that is for me is when I'm in the pulpit, I'm so focused on what I'm trying to say that somebody could be swinging from the light fixtures back there, and I probably wouldn't even notice it. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I'm just so single in my focus. But spiritually speaking, that's a good thing, especially if you focused your attention upon the things of the Lord, because this world is filled with so many distractions, and a lot of these distractions they lead you away from Jesus. And away from the Word, and away from spiritual growth and spiritual life. And I just want to ask you the question tonight. Are there things that are distracting you and you have found yourself just kind of drifting away from some commitments that you've made to the Lord or some calling that God has put upon your life? And because you're so distracted by all these things, you've lost your gaze, your focus upon the Lord, and you need a spiritual revival. You need your heart to be returning back to this focus upon the things of God. You know that according to a Washington Post article, most car accidents happen because of distractions. It's really become a problem now with cell phones and texting and all this that goes on in cars and drivers. It's not 100%, but it's almost 100% when you pull up to a intersection and you look over, they're on their phone. They're either talking on it or they're trying to look something up or they're texting somebody. And it's a dangerous thing out there on the highways now because of all of the distractions that keep people distracted from what they're supposed to be focusing their attention on. It's becoming the number one problem as far as car accidents are concerned. Just so many distractions. And we live in a world of distractions. Constantly. So many things coming from so many different directions that you're not able to focus upon the things that are really, really important. Distractions are a big part of our life today. But when it comes to our spiritual life, the enemy throws all kinds of distractions in your way. And if you're not very careful, you will allow these distractions to take your total focus away from the things of the Lord, from the Word of God, from prayer, from spiritual things, from the call of God that may be upon your life, and you've been distracted by countless numbers of other things. Don't allow yourself to do that. Amen. Don't allow yourself to become distracted. Oh, it's a spiritually dangerous thing to get distracted by all the things that are around us in our world today. Let me just mention a few things. One of our distractions is that we are self-focused. We cannot be focused upon the things that God wants to do in our life, because many people today, they can't think about anything except how everything relates to them, their life, what they are doing, what's important to them, what they love, what they prefer, all their life. And just think about this. This is just between you and the Lord, but just give some consideration to this tonight. How much of your day tomorrow is wrapped up in you and what you want and what you think is important, and that has become the focus of your life? Self becomes a big distraction. Ephesians 5 and 29, it says, "For no man ever hated his own flesh." We don't hate our own flesh, but he says, he nourisheth it and cherisheth it. We just take good care of ourselves, don't we? If there is, no matter what is going on, even the decisions that we make on a daily basis, it has to do with how I feel about it. And how is this going to profit me? And how am I going to be blessed? Or how is this going to advantage me? When that creeps into your spiritual life, when it creeps in to the church, then even the church services become so self-centered instead of Christ-centered. Amen. Oh, and that's such an important thing. Such an important thing. That above all, that we are a Christ-centered body. Amen. And all these other things are just, you know, Jesus is the center of the wheel. And everything else, they're just the spokes of the wheel. That doesn't mean they're not important. They are important. But we are a Christ-centered church, or we should be. That's the focus of our attention. Upon Him. Upon the things of God, on what He has done and what He has called us to become, instead of self. So how much of your time is invested in, you know, I make money for myself and I give time for myself, and all of, you know, your energy and your strength and your talent and everything is given. When you do a real evaluation, you'll see that you're really just kind of heaping on yourself. Your whole life is centered in yourself, and that is not the life of a believer, the life of a Christian. Christ is the center. Others are more important. We finally get around to ourselves. That doesn't mean that you neglect yourself. It just means you finally, down the line of priorities, Jesus is first, and others and other things that come in your life, and yourself comes down the line a little ways. Amen. Self can be a distraction. Selfish interest, a distraction. Another thing that can be a distraction is just other things around you and other people around you. If you're not careful, you allow what other people think, what other people are doing, their opinions, their ideas, all others, and you're so affected. Young people especially, it seems to affect them because they're very concerned about what their peers think. But really, it affects all of us at every phase of our life. That many of the decisions we make those decisions based upon what are they going to think about me if I do this? What are they going to say? I was listening this afternoon to the Billy Graham broadcast. It was his son, Franklin Graham, that was speaking. And he was talking about, you know, it was in a large, I don't know if it was a coliseum of some sort or a big arena. I don't know what it was, but I know it was a big place that he was speaking. And I never heard such strong preaching. He came out and was talking, of course, he was talking about salvation, but talking about sin and what people are involved in. And he preached along the lines of what the Bible says about marriage. And he says, if you're involved in this kind of marriages that are not biblical marriages, then that's sin, and you need to repent of that and find forgiveness for that. And don't defend what you're doing. And he just went down the line and just describing the sins of people. He said something like this. He said, I don't know if for me to say that there are murderers here would probably offend you, but he said, there are probably those of you who have aborted your babies. I'm telling you, strong. And you're a murderer. There's forgiveness for you if you come to the Lord. There's forgiveness for you if you'll come to Jesus. And as I listened to that, I just thought, well, thank the Lord for somebody that has the courage to speak the truth in an age where people absolutely hate the truth. They despise the Word of God. They despise what's true. Don't allow all the voices around you to influence you. If they are influencing you, then just cut off those friendships. Cut off that associate, and make sure that your focus stays entirely upon the Lord. Others, amen. Nehemiah was building a wall, and Sanballat, Tobiah, and all these other so-called companions and friends. They came to him and they said, "Come on, let's have a meeting. Let's all gather together and have a big discussion." He said, I can't do that. I'm doing a work, a great work. I can't come down. I can't stop this. I have to stay in my place." So he just remained focused upon his calling and his purpose, and he didn't allow others around him to distract him. There are distractions that are, you know, in our own life. Just we distract ourselves from spiritual things because of our selfish interest. And then there are others that are around us that they influence us. And they take your attention off of the Lord and off of the Word of God. Don't allow that to happen. It's dangerous to get spiritually distracted. Going right along with that is the influence and the spirit of the world, the spirit of the age. The world is a distraction. The world is pulling at you. The world has a philosophy and is constantly pulling at you. What does the Bible say about that? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. Don't allow the things of this world, the philosophy of this world, the ways of this world. Others may be doing it. Others may be following that course in their life. Don't allow the world to become a distraction to you and take your eyes off of Jesus and your eyes off of your purpose and the call of God that is upon your life. Another distraction is good things. Good things. Remember, in Luke chapter 10, it was Martha that was cumbered. And really the word there could be easily translated. She was distracted. She was distracted, running about, serving and working and doing, complaining that her sister wasn't helping her to the Lord. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. You're distracted. by many things. One thing is needful. He was talking about focus. What she's doing is the most important thing. Stay focused upon the Lord, upon the things of God, upon your calling, upon His will for your life. Don't get distracted by a lot of good things that you can be involved in that rob your time and rob your attention from God and from the things of the Lord. Look to Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. And He's the one that every step of the way, every day and every week, if you keep your attention upon Him, you won't be distracted by selfish interest. You won't be distracted by the world, the love of this world. You won't be distracted by others that are around you, sometimes even well-meaning people that are around you. You won't be distracted by those things and even by good things that we too often fill up our life doing, and we lose sight of what's really, really important. I'm going through all this here tonight because I'm just like you. I'm so easily distracted, in spiritual matters. And it requires a purpose, a decision. Just like I said, I did Wednesday. Okay, today I'm not going to read the paper. I'm not going to go through the internet. I'm not going to pay any attention to all these things that are going on in the world. Today, I'm going to give my attention to the Lord. You know what? It was a good day. It was a good day. And I know that you have jobs and you have responsibility and family, and there's a lot of things. They're good things and they're important things that you do. And I understand that, but don't let any of those things rob you from your focus on the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Get in tune with the Lord. I read the story about, this is more than 100 years ago, back in the days when international or even national communication was by telegraph. And this was in the late 1800s, and there was in a major city, a big telegraph office that had advertised that they needed help, they needed employees. There were seven young men who applied the very first opportunity and walked in, sat down and filled out the necessary paperwork. Busy, busy office, all kinds of people moving around and things going on, and even in the distance, the tapping of the telegraph, the Morse code. And so the seven young men just sat there. Suddenly, one of them jumps up, walks through the door of the back office, closes the door, and the other guys are looking at themselves saying, "What is going on? Why did he go into that office?" Well, after just a few minutes, the young man came out smiling and said, "They hired me." And they were all upset. Why? Why? Well, in that distant tapping of Morse code, there was a message that was being tapped out. And the message was, "If you understand this message, stand up immediately and come into my office and you will be hired." He knew Morse code very well, and his focus was on that, and he got the job. Now that illustrates for us busy, busy things, busy activities, all kinds of things that are going on in all of our lives, but don't lose your focus. Don't lose your attention on the voice of the Lord, on the Word of God. Most important thing is that you hear His voice. Hallelujah.